Can a survey change the future? Maybe this one can. Cannabis education is inconsistent at best and missing or misleading at worst. How can we make cannabis education better? What if we ask people who use or are thinking about using cannabis a bunch of questions? What if we ask pharmacists who could be teaching people about cannabis a bunch of questions? And then, what if the answers from those questions were used to help pharmacists teach people about cannabis better? Well, this is exactly what pharmacists as cannabis educators, or PACE, are doing. And PACE needs you to fill out a survey. PACE needs as many people as possible to fill out a survey. PACE needs you to fill out a survey on or before May 12th. This is a limited time offer for you to help change the future of cannabis education. To participate, go to promo.reefermed.ca. That's promo, P-R-O-M-O dot reefermed.ca.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back.
Hey, Kirk, how's it going?
Good. Last time I saw you, you were half naked with your wife, and there was some sharp bits of metal around.
Now, this is how rumors get started. I had my sleeve rolled up.
Oh, okay.
That's not half naked.
Fine. I exaggerated a little bit.
You gave us a flu shot today. Thank you.
I did. And no one cried, so we'll call it successful.
No.
And the nurse didn't complain about my technique, so, you know, double successful.
No, but here's a story. When you jabbed me and I said, ouch, Michelle got worried. And she gave me shit for saying ouch because you are painless. It was an easy, it didn't hurt at all. So she was all worried about it, and it turned out to be nothing at all.
Good. Today we are going to revisit a friend of the show, Raheem Dalla.
Yes.
And his pharmacy hybrid farm in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So you listened to the conversation. What did you think?
Well, he was part of episode 34, right? So if our viewers, listeners want to go back, that's where we first heard his voice on our podcast. I listened to the interview, Trevor, and I guess the question I have for you is, what's the story here with this cannabis pharmacist?
Well, I just like talking to Raheem. He's doing some interesting stuff. But what made me reach out to him again is on Twitter, people were getting excited that you could go into Raheem's pharmacy and buy cannabis. You know, kind of. Well, that was the question. Is this like a non-medicinal dispensary? Can you just go in and say, yeah, I've got a headache, I'd like, you know, the 1 to 20 CBD THC, or, you know, how's this work? So thought we better call him up and ask, so Raheem, how's this work?
And so what did we learn?
Of course, like everything else in bureaucracy world, not quite as easy as it should be. He has got, and he'll say it properly in the interview, I'll see if I can get it right. He's got a license. He's a license to sell medicinally. I'm not getting the exact wording right, but he's licensed to sell medicinally. But he's still like a licensed seller. Medicinal cannabis is still not a bricks and mortar thing. But what's always been in the act is. So normally medicinal cannabis, you get a medical document and that gets sent to the licensed producer, licensed seller, and then the licensed seller sends it to you most often by mail. That's how most people in the medicinal cannabis world get their cannabis. They don't walk into a store. The product is mailed to them. But there's always been this thing in there that said you can have it shipped instead to your prescriber. And when I asked the true or not, the explanation I got was it's so you don't, if someone didn't have an address, if somebody was homeless, there's still a way for them to get medical cannabis. Now, most people, you included, don't have their cannabis shipped to their prescriber. So I'll put you on the spot here a little bit. When you get medicinal cannabis, How does it get to you?
Medicinal cannabis is ordered online, and it comes directly to the house.
Okay. And it's just never even come up, I'm assuming, that, you know, and we'll put her on the spot, that Dr. Shelley Turner said, hey, you know, why don't you get it shipped directly to my office and you drive down to Gimli and pick that up? I assume that was never discussed, right?
No, no.
Because frankly, it'd be inconvenient for both you and her.
Yeah, no, that wasn't discussed. The way I was looking at it, the Shoppers Drug Mart model.
Right.
They are a drugstore. And hybrid pharmacy is also a drugstore, and you clarify that during your discussion with him. When I go on his website, he has a very comprehensive cannabis program. He has consultants, he has prescribers, and they have a menu, and they pretty much step it. I mean, we've got hybridfarm.com. But nowhere in here does it say that I can access my cannabis from his pharmacy. So that's
because you don't really. And you know what? This might end up being a follow-up email to Raheem to make sure I'm getting this exactly right. But my understanding is, so let's say you came in off the street, you avail yourselves of Hybrid Farms cannabis consulting services. You know, they determine it's right for you, and then you sit down with one of their prescribers and they go through everything. Yep, it's good. The prescriber writes the medical document because it's not a prescription, and that document then gets quote unquote sent to Hybrid Farm. So, you know, literally walked over across the hall. Now, Hybrid Farm can sell it. You know, it'd be the same as if your medical document got faxed into CanniMed or Cannabis by Shoppers or whoever, but instead of mailing it out to you, they are now sending it to your prescriber, who is in the same building, and then you can pick it up from your prescriber. So that's my understanding, and like I said, maybe this is worth one more email to Raheem to make sure I've got this right in my mind. But I can see why he wouldn't have on his website saying you can pick it up in a pharmacy, because it's still not legal to pick up in a pharmacy. But it is legal to pick up from your prescriber. But in this case, their prescriber is in the same building.
Well, so maybe this is a little mystery, because as I was listening to him speak as well, that was my thought, that I'm thinking, well, he goes to the prescriber sits, they talk about the illness and what they're going to do for them and how cannabis will help, and they can access the cannabis from the pharmacy. So it's not like the Shoppers Drug Mart model where you can, and we did this in the episode with Hello MD, and they work with Shoppers Drug Mart and direct you there. If you go on the Shoppers Drug Mart cannabis program web pages, you can actually order your cannabis on the Shoppers Drug Mart page. But when you receive your cannabis, it's coming from the LP. It's coming from the licensed producer. During your discussion with Hybrid Farms, I didn't get, there is that key thing missing, Trevor. And I hope that you can get a hold of him so that we can, at the end of your discussion with him, we can have it piped in sort of, yes, this is how they do it. Because I'm hypothesizing here, and I'm thinking that let's say I like Broken Coast sativa tips, and I use that for, not that we're promoting Broken Coast, but just for an example. Let's say I want the sativa tips and I'm going to bake with them, because I think that's pretty much what the tips are for. If I have my medical document that allows so many grams a day, you can pretty much figure out how much you're going to have and when you do need to reorder. So I'm wondering, and again, this is hypothesizing, if Hybrid Farms thinks ahead and somehow in the documentation you give them permission to order for you, that when you do go to him, he has it ready for you. But I don't think we're buying the cannabis from him. I think there's sort of a middleman and providing it, your prescription for you through them. I'd like that clarified. I think that's a critical part of the story missing.
Okay. Sure. I'm just to see if I'm right, I'll throw in what I think happens. And I think this is whether it's Cannabis by Shoppers or Hybrid Farm or any other medical licensed seller. I think I've got the wording right now. They are They're kind of like back to what pharmacies are now. Like, you don't buy your cholesterol pill directly from Pfizer. You buy it from a pharmacy. So the pharmacy gets the prescription. The pharmacy orders in Lipitor from Pfizer. And then the pharmacy, more complicated than this, but it's basically a reseller of Lipitor to you. I think a medical license seller is like that, a reseller or a wholesaler of the medicinal cannabis. And yeah, it comes from the licensed producer to you, the patient, but it's whether physically going through, because Raheem did say he has a physical room now with cannabis in it.
Yeah, locked room.
So whether it's physically going into Hybrid Farm or virtually going through Hybrid Farm, that's my two cents of how I think that works. But you know what? I'll send Raheem an email, and at the end of this, hopefully we'll get some clarification.
So let's listen to the story, and we will hopefully answer our own question at the end also.
All right, let's go listen to Raheem. Raheem, you've been on the podcast before, but there has been some interesting upgrades going on at Hybrid Farm. What is going on there cannabis-wise?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back. I love your podcast. I listen to it all the time here. Just ever since we last spoke, I believe we were still in the application process of getting our LP license for medical sales. So that came through in March. Took about a solid year to get that to go through with Health Canada. But since then, yeah, we do have cannabis on site in our secure room in our pharmacy, and we are now distributing to our patients who have like valid authorizations. So,
all right. So first obvious question. So let's say I've got a medical authorization from my nurse practitioner in my hand. Can I physically walk up to your counter, hand it to you, and get cannabis handed back?
There's a little bit of a process, and there's a little bit more paperwork, but so it's not as streamlined as that as we wish it would be. But there are a couple of things that we would have to fill out, and the doctor may have to fill out as well. But that's essentially the idea, and that's kind of where we're striving to go to. We really want to make it easier for patients to be able to access cannabis instead of the mail order system, instead of going through all the different loopholes and things like that. So that's the reason why we kind of set up this kind of program here at Hybrid Farm. So if you were coming with a prescription outside of our own prescribers and things like that, it would be a little bit more complicated. We would deliver to your house.
Okay. So let's say I walk in and I need medical cannabis. What, and I'm a new patient. What would you do? How would that work?
We would set you up with an appointment with our prescriber. Once we go through the consultation process, they would authorize a prescription, and then we'd be able to actually deliver the cannabis to the healthcare provider.
Okay, and since your healthcare provider is in the building, you could she could then literally hand it to you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, that's completely different than other setups, and way better for patients. So that's great. How have patients been liking this?
I think they absolutely love it. They love the consultative process. They love the idea of coming into a pharmacy. That they're used to that, right? Like a lot of the patients, most patients are using medical cannabis are over the age of 50 on multiple medications. So they do want to have that conversation with the pharmacist to be able to, you know, help them guide in their dosing, help guide them with their titration, making sure they're not using it inappropriately or not interacting with the medication. So they do like that process. I feel like the retention and the ordering rate is a little bit higher than what most patients are going through. As we know, like we've seen Health Canada recently see the number of registrants across the country has dropped about like 7 to 8% since last March. And I think the reason is because most of them are accessing it through the recreational channels and or black market. So I think this type of model is definitely necessary in the long run to really help patients come back towards the medical side and actually help get, you know, proper consultative and proper advice. I know I have friends at the dispensaries right now that are, they say one in four patients walking in there, sorry, clients walking into a recreational dispensary are asking medical questions. So there is a big gap in the level of education and knowledge that is out there in the market. And I think that's what we're really trying to hone in on and really try to provide.
Yeah. And without saying bad things about people in the dispensary system or we'll call it the recreational system or the non-medical system, how appropriate do you think it is that, you know, a bud tender is being asked medical questions?
It's obviously not appropriate because they do not have medical training, and but it's expected because this is, most patients want things yesterday. I mean, you're a pharmacist, you know this. So they want their medication yesterday. You have to sit there and compound it, and it takes like 24, 48 hours, right? And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing all these elderly patients walking into dispensaries and asking about their fibromyalgia, asking about arthritis. And most bartenders I hear from them, they say, oh, sorry, we can't talk about medical. We do have a lot of dispensaries around Ottawa actually referring to us. So patients do call or come in after going through the recreational system. So it's good in that sense. But I think there was a big oversight when they first launched this, and first launched the medical system and then launched the recreational system. There's still a huge gap. And, you know, to look to the future of this industry, I think that's where we need to really start focusing in on patients and focusing on their accessibility.
Oh, that's really good. Since both you and I do some compounding, compounding with cannabis, is that a thing at Hybrid Farm?
No, it's not a thing at Hybrid Farm. We are, remember before we were talking about how we were doing that and we were helping patients using alternate dosage forms. This time it's not available anymore. I think that's when it does become available. I think it's when the legislation gets the revision. And if pharmacies are unable to dispense medical cannabis, then compounding will come back into the mix. I think it's a big oversight, right, on our part, on the board's parts, on you know, just our industry in general, because there are a lot of patients that really need individualized medication. And I truly, this is a harm reduction approach too. Why give someone
absolutely
when they can take it, you know, vaginally or topically or rectally, and have more targeted therapy? But again, I think we have to wait until enabling legislation allows us to do so.
Yeah, we were talking to Dr. Mohan Khoury a few episodes ago, and he's with Canalog and Wells doing a bunch of other things. He started out being a gastroenterologist, so he said, well, of course, I would love to have, you know, a cannabis suppository when they become available. So the need is out there.
Absolutely. There is. I mean, we're talking with a lot of gynecologists. There's a lot of females using suppositories, and a lot of them are making them at home using like cocoa butter or whatever they can find, whatever recipe they can find, using it for like endometriosis, vulvodynia, like dyspareunia. So, I mean, it is a big niche. And I think LP should be, you know, kind of focusing more on medical based products instead of just growing flower and making oils. Like those two have been done. Let's start moving on to more innovation and more development into the medical stream.
So, and not that we can't swing back to this, but I know you've been doing a few other things in the cannabis world. Kirk ended up on a national nursing body to do with cannabis education, and your name came up. So what other sort of areas of cannabis and cannabis education have you been up to lately?
We're doing a lot. We're trying to dip into the research side a lot, and we are actually working with CHEO, the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, to study the use of cannabis in ASD patients, which is fantastic. We've had a lot of positive results coming out of that.
So let's back up a bit. What's an ASD patient?
An ASD is autism spectrum disorder. So a lot of these patients, this is specifically for patients under the age of 17 using cannabinoids as their primary therapy and or any type of therapy. So we're just, it's more of an observational trial, not actually, you know, placebo or randomized control trial. Observational for patients using medical cannabis under the supervision of a healthcare professional. But just from experience in before this even started with our ASD patients, it's been fabulous. It's been working very well. And a lot of the parents are just, I've had some parents come crying, be like, I can't believe how well this works. I can't believe this has been illegal for so long that it's really changed their lives. And so that's one fascinating aspect. We're also with CHEO as well. We're doing a retrospective chart review of our insomnia patients and looking at those that are using cannabinoids for sleep disorders. And so these studies will be coming out in the next couple months. I'd say the ASD will take a little bit longer. But
tell me a little bit more about the insomnia. sorry, it's a little bit more on the insomnia one. Was this kind of all over the place, or were these patients mostly smoking it, mostly using oils, or how are people treating their insomnia with cannabis?
Most of our patients, I would say about 90% of them, are oil capsule spray based, non-inhalant based. So most of them are using capsules or oils for their insomnia and just doing pretty well. Actually, a lot of patients actually start, you know, for pain or some other indication, but then they start noticing that this is helping me sleep better. So, you know, and as we know, like in the cannabis industry, especially on the medical side, we're starting to notice trends of like three main reasons why people are using medical cannabis: pain, anxiety, and sleep. So we decided to look at our charts at the pharmacy here and just kind of go over the efficacy and look at, you know, the improvements that patients have seen. So,
and sort of education wise, you're getting involved with some national boards.
Yeah. So CNA, reached out and, asked to help with, some expert opinions in regards to their program and their education. So that's probably how my name came up with when Kirk was discussing that. So we are getting involved in education and things like that. We're bringing in, especially in the hybrid farm side of things, and just a little bit of education around the store. Is Cannabis Education Guild is helping us with using, you know, like some educational materials, you know, really patient focused, patient based, to really help drive education and drive explanations of on a really like basic level, entry level, to really help, you know, again, help with education. I'm kind of repeating myself there, but
no, that sounds great.
I think, like, speaking in the medical world, I feel like a lot of people don't really understand this, but we're still really at a really nascent stage. Like, patients still don't really understand the differences between the cannabinoids. So even the dosage forms, I get a lot of patients coming in, I don't want to smoke it, and they're thinking that's the only way to consume cannabis. So there's still a lot of education that still needs to be done. And I think this is a primary role as healthcare providers and pharmacies.
Well, and I think a lot of prescribers are a little nervous because they don't know how to prescribe it. I know I've got that question several times. So in case we've got any prescribers listening to this episode, let's pick insomnia since we're talking about it. If I'm a insomniac, come to talk to you and your prescriber, and I say, you know, I can't sleep, what should I do? Kind of do a quick walkthrough of what I'd be asked and what sort of doses and types I would be started with.
Yeah, that's a really common question. First of all, I think a lot of doctors are still very confused. I think we all are very confused by the grams per day. A lot of doctors don't understand that authorizing a grams per day does not mean that's how much they consume. It means how much they have access to. And again, I think it's kind of a moot point, to be honest. It doesn't really make sense. That doesn't really have any bearing on what their dosage is, what they're, you know, how much they're actually using. But so it is a grams per day for X amount of time. So if a patient were to come in for insomnia, like there's a couple of things you have to ask too, right? It's, are you having sleep latency? Like, are you having problems getting to sleep or staying asleep? And that can be two different types of forms where patients can be using. You also ask, I mean, as a pharmacist, I always ask, what have you tried in the past? What are you currently using in terms of medication? And kind of go back to like our study, we've noticed a lot of patients have dropped off on their sleep medications. So again, there's a pill sparing effect with cannabinoids that we have come to know and learn about. From there, it's about selecting the proper dosage form, especially in cannabis naive patients. You definitely want to start on something more CBD heavy than you would with THC, and more on the oil based or capsule based, for sleep latency. But then again, if there's more experienced users, they may introduce THC after a certain period of time to increase more sedative effects. And we're also noticing.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I was saying we're noticing too, like, I mean, with THC, it can be a double-edged sword. You can small amounts, small dosages, great for sleep. High dosages, it can actually be more activating. And we've had a lot of patients come and be like, yeah, I was wired. I took some and I was wired. I'm like, you got to start lower. So there's a consultative process of, you know, escalation and dosing on that side.
Okay. And again, assuming I was cannabinoid naive, oils. I assume they are easier to start out with because they're easier to titrate. Do you want to talk a little bit about that in case, again, prescribers never used one before?
Yeah, absolutely. Oils are definitely much more easier to titrate. They're actually a little bit more cost effective than the capsules. So when you're starting on a patient on an oil, you definitely start on a lower dose. We're noticing anywhere between 5 to 10 milligrams CBD, and then you titrate upwards pretty rapidly for insomnia, because you don't want them to titrate over a period of 3 to 4 weeks. You want them to sleep pretty rapidly. So a titration on that side would do wonders. And again, I'm noticing a lot too, a lot of people think you need THC to sleep, and that's not true. A lot of patients do have more anxiety related disorders, which help them, which inhibit them from sleeping appropriately. So they either their mind's going, they can't shut the brain down, they're just kind of wound up at night. And the CBD alone can actually be a little bit more effective than even the combination. But that's why, cannabis naive patients generally start them on more of a CBD dominant type of oil, and then slowly titrate them up over the course of a week or so.
No, that is really good. Anything else cannabis related going on at Hybrid Farm that you think our listeners need to know about?
We're trucking along with our new model and kind of getting patients getting used to this new storefront medical model. I mean, we do have expansion plans across the country as we are talking with many different pharmacies and many different clinic owners, and really trying to evolve the space into a more patient-friendly atmosphere. I think also too, going down the path of, even speaking with CFAM, or now Medical Cannabis Canada, in regards to patient affordability and tax reduction, things like that, I think are big plays in the medical market that we should be really discussing and really advocating and pushing forward. And in this type of model, I think it can make more sense for the taxes to be wiped out. And I think that would be a really big help for these patients.
Absolutely. Now, business-wise, you are talking about expanding Hybrid Farm, across Ontario, across Canada? How far is the empire going to stretch?
Across Canada, at least to start. I mean, a lot of people are talking, especially some people on my team are even saying this could be a global model. I want to focus in on Canada first, because we have legalized it. And I think there's a lot of changes that should be made and need to be made in order to increase the accessibility. And honestly, this at the end of the day, this is about normalization. This is why I put it in a pharmacy. Because now you see dispensaries, you see them opening up left and right, and it's solely cannabis. You're still putting cannabis in a box outside the realm of society. But we know this is a medicine. We've seen it. Medical professionals have seen it. It's time to really just integrate this into our pharmacopoeia like we did in 1918. I do have a book, by the way, in my pharmacy that has cannabis indica from the 1918 pharmacopoeia. So,
Kirk would love that.
That's the model. That's why I really want pharmacists to get more involved in this. I want them to start being able to distribute, dispense, and counsel and discuss cannabis with their patients.
And just in case people missed it, you are not just a quote-unquote cannabis pharmacy. If I need my antibiotic and my blood pressure pill filled, the idea is it's all done at Hybrid Farm, right?
Absolutely. It's a big part of the model too, is having all your medications in one spot, because we have noticed we are reducing medications. We are de-prescribing patients. We are helping them come off their opioids or SSRIs or benzodiazepines, even some of the anti-inflammatories that have, burn holes in their stomach, and they're no longer able to use those. So we are we're shifting it, right? It's a shift in the evolution of pharmacy, and that's a big part of it. And that's why we do want to have control over all the different medications that they are using, so we can properly monitor and dose titrate.
Well, as usual, it is, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we're always excited to see where Hybrid Farm is going next. So, maybe the next one is we'll talk to you as your new grand opening in Edmonton or something. So that's fantastic. We hear Ottawa is also super busy right now with COVID, so we'll let you go back to COVID testing. Anything else you
want to do? COVID testing here too, so off business hours, but it's quite interesting. Just obviously we're here to help the community, right? We're trying to integrate ourselves as a community pharmacy and not be outcasted as a cannabis pharmacy. So it's important, and I think we have to step up to the plate when a pandemic occurs, and this is what we are doing. So.
Yeah, no, good for you guys. I think Ottawa's lucky to have you. Raheem, that was great. Looking forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it. Always a great time on Reefer Madness.
All right, that was great. It's Renee here, the producer of the show. And so there was an unanswered question that we, after the interview, got back in touch with Raheem about. And he emailed us an answer. So I'm going to interject here and offer that answer. It was about some clarification on the process of purchasing. So Raheem writes, after a prescription is authorized, patients are registered on the spot with Hybrid Pharm as a licensed producer. Once registered, we, pharmacists and or clinicians, recommend specific products and educate patients on how to use them. Patients can then order their medicine and have it delivered to them directly in the pharmacy, all within the same consultation. Patients order cannabis from the website, which is hybridpharm.com, and pharm is PHARM. Patients pay online with a credit card or debit card, and there you go. That's the process. Now back to Trevor and Kirk.
So Kirk, aside from Raheem answering that question for us, he's involved. He's got his fingers in a lot of stuff. We talked about insomnia. We talked about autism. He's doing some research projects with CHEO, the Children's Health of Eastern Ontario, Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. There's a lot going on. And yeah, I'm just excited to see where Hybrid Pharm is going.
Yeah, it is quite exciting. He is out and about. I'm involved with the Canadian Nursing Association, and I know he's with the cannabis program, and I know he's involved with that too, because I've seen him in some future videos that are coming out. So yeah, he's a busy man. I have a sense we're going to be talking to him again.
I do too. And I liked how when he walked through, let's see if I get this right. So he was saying three of the things that I like that he keyed on was people seem to come in with pain, with anxiety, and with sleep. And we talked a little bit about sleep because I made him do it. But I just thought it was an interesting segue that often he says they'll come in with like a pain issue. They'll get the cannabis stuff sorted out. And then two sort of useful side effects is they end up on literally less pills overall, and they start sleeping better.
Imagine
and
that.
So it's just, yeah, it's now, you know, because it comes up all the time. No, cannabis is not a miracle cure for everything all the time. But it is, on the other hand, really interesting, all the little things that keeps falling into place.
Over 55 episodes, and we, you know, what do we keep stumbling into? How cannabis helps people. Right. And it just helps people. And also, the more we talk to educated cannabis people, the more they say to us, the studies are there, you know. So again, I think we're starting this project at an exciting time for us, Trevor. I think there's going to be so many stories for us in the future about cannabis, because it's helping people, and it's helping people for the same reason, sleep. Huge, you know, and I would like to explore that a little bit more. And is it the CBDs or is it actually the CBNs that are helping people sleep, you know? So there's so much more to learn about cannabis. And these fellas, this group at Hybrid Pharms, I hope to stay in contact with them.
Me too. So, Kirk,
what about my cannabis stories? You know what? I keep trying to get some two-minute my cannabis stories from people.
So, yes, if you have a my cannabis story, it's really easy. Record about 2 minutes of audio on your phone. This is, I like cannabis, it helped me. I hate cannabis, it didn't help me. It helped my mom. You know, just something about how cannabis is being involved in your life. It's really easy. Record it on the voice memo on your phone and then email it to us.
Will you please mail it to us, reefermedness@gmail.com.
Yes, and we would love to play it at the end of one of our episodes. Everybody loves them, and it inspires other people to get involved with cannabis.
I've got a surprise for you.
Okay.
I stood outside the local cannabis dispensary, and started asking people, making cold calls, asking people what they thought about the 2-year anniversary.
Okay, and?
So I've asked Renee to put together a little montage.
Okay.
Of the responses I had. So Renee, maybe you can fit some of those comments back right now. So it's 2 years of cannabis legalization. What do you think?
I think it's pretty great. Yeah. I didn't think there'd be a day where I can walk to my local mall and come out with cannabis.
Yeah. It's made everybody happier. The government, it's made them happier. It's made people happier.
So what do you think about 2 years of legalization of cannabis?
It's good. It's good. Yeah? There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, in Manitoba, it has not made the province any richer. Definitely hasn't increased a ton of jobs in the province.
I mean, I don't think it's done an impact on anything as far as the illegal activities with marijuana, but...
It's made no significant difference in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why is that? Did you smoke beforehand?
Not heavily.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't care?
No, and I think people are still buying it more on the black market.
You think so?
Like. That's my hunch.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I hear on the streets.
Oh. Well, I think it's great. I think it's, you know, Canada's finally come around, and it's been a non-issue. The sky hasn't fallen, and everything is fine. I've seen no major news articles or anything on the news saying, you know, places are getting broken into or major catastrophes associated with the smoking of pot or legalization of cannabis. It's been a total non-issue.
No, and I think a lot of more people who had anxiety and other problems like that are also able to come out and talk about it a lot more, actually, because it's now more in the face of everybody. It's not so hidden.
I think it's been just a fantastic 2 years, and I'm looking forward to see what else comes in store.
Do you mind me asking, did you consume cannabis before 2 years, before legalization?
I had tried, yes, but I find that the legal stuff is way better.
Okay.
Way better.
So the fact that it's now legal, has that influenced your use of it? Have you used it more often or less often?
No, I think it's about the same, but I definitely, it's a lot less stressful, I find.
Yeah, I've had a medical license for years because I've had spinal problems, spinal stenosis, hip replacements, and, you know, for waiting for surgery, it took so long. The doctors had me on hydromorphone, and you know what that stuff is.
Yeah.
It'll freaking kill you.
Yeah.
So after that, the only solution was to go on medical herb and everything, and yeah. It's the only thing that kept me from freaking wanting to shoot myself. I was in so much pain. So thank God that the government got on board with this, and instead of the black market making billions of dollars, we could put it more into taxes.
So Trevor, what do you think of that?
Wow. You know, you would think that people would stop. Cannabis would be so normal now that they're not talking about it anymore. That, no, they're still talking.
Well, no, but what's interesting is I got some people that just didn't care. I got some people that had the whole backstory behind where all the money's going. I had a lot of different stories, and I hope that we're able to get them. I have my stupid little bicycle Day-Glo green bicycle helmet on.
Yes.
I recognized afterwards that I was wearing my Day-Glo green jacket, and it didn't really dawn on me, and I had this fire mask on. I was alive. I was basically glowing in the mall, and I didn't really realize it till I got home and went, oh, I took a selfie actually of myself. I went, oh my God. I walked up to people with a helmet on, a mask on, saying, hey, talk to me about cannabis. And I got some good responses. And doing it in front of the liquor store was the most fun because people actually scurried away from me.
Get me away from this guy.
Yeah, what the hell? No one seemed to care. 2 years after legalization, the sky did not fall. Now, the other thing I would like to encourage our listeners, Trevor, is for Pete's sake, for crying cannabis out loud. Come on, guys, give us a rating on podcast. We've got lots of listeners out there. I know you're a tight crowd. I know that you're a good community we're building. But give us some feedback. How about that?
Show us some love.
Show us some love. Some cannabis love. Yeah. Now you can segue into music okay. That's 40 years
so
old.
I don't know if you've been... well, you're our Instagram guy, so maybe you did see it. There is an Aboriginal guy in Northern California who decided to go on a skateboard ride with a camera and a bottle of Ocean Spray Cran Raspberry while lip syncing along to Dreams.
Stevie Nicks, yeah.
So it's kind of been all over, and Stevie Nicks herself has done it, you know, so it was a thing.
Well,
so I don't know if it's...
Rumors is back on the Billboard Top 10 list.
Well, I don't know if it's because of that or just he really likes the song, but Raheem being on top of the latest trends, he wants to hear Dreams.
Well, so a flashback to grade 11, I think it was for me. You were probably still in elementary school in 1977.
Something like
that, yeah. Yeah, no, I can remember this. This song was everywhere in the 70s. Rumors was the top selling album. I think it beat out Dark Side of the Moon, and Tapestry became the number one selling album for its time. I think Thriller actually took over Rumors, and now it's back. I think I saw someplace where Mick Fleetwood was actually also doing the thing and said thank you. Royalties are nice. So yes, let's play Fleetwood Mac Dreams.
Like the show, let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
Dreams of loneliness like a heartbeat drives you mad in the street.
So it's 2 years since legalization of cannabis. Do you care?
No, I don't smoke it, so.
So yeah, have you noticed any difference in society after 2 years?
No, I didn't notice anything.
Okay.
I don't. Nope.
That's all I'm looking for.
I don't know.
All right, thanks, man.
No problem.